Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, Radio Family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue on in a message I began Monday, Fully Alive in Christ. And we've been looking, just getting started really, looking at the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, which Paul, out of his own experience and revelation, was describing the condition that God desires, the spiritual condition He desires His people to be in. And sometimes I think, you know, we barely scratch the surface, no matter how long we may have been serving God and diligently with all of our heart, yet there's continual understanding and revelation to be received. And I believe that's where He's bringing us into. We are going to have greater discernment as the body of Christ. We are going to know the things that are of God and the things that are not of God. I pray that all the time, that it, not only the wisdom of God, but to discern that which is of the spirit, that which is of the flesh, and that which is of the devil. I mean, that's like the starting point. You have to know what's going on. And then God can give you wisdom and understanding and how to deal with whatever the circumstances or situation may be. But we were talking yesterday about that we can't please God in our carnal nature, in our flesh life or the old life. That's why we become a new creature in Christ. And there are those who desire to compromise with the world. I mean, that's true of believers. They kind of straddle the fence. And that's also true sometimes of those in ministry, who are actually men pleasers instead of God pleasers. A great many clergymen seem to walk a tightrope as compromisers and men pleasers in order to retain their position. In some circles, they are actually called the professional clergy. They go to the right universities, seminaries, get to know the right people, plan their lives and their futures just like any other person in the secular world would do. And they audition for their clerical posts and meet with the hierarchy of the church to find out what the people expect of them so they won't say or do, you know, the wrong things. You know, they might as far as how they go about it, they might have felt a call of God to be able to preach or to minister to people. But by the time they go through I don't have a word for it, and I'll explain in a minute. You know, they might as well be a plumber or an engineer or an architect, a lawyer or a doctor. They've had education, and then they have to find out, okay, so what are the practical aspects of this? Let me just ask, where is the fasting and the prayer waiting upon the Lord as to what His will, knowing, you know, what God is wanting of you, where you should preach, what you should do, or where you should pastor? You know, when a person becomes so worldly fashionable, they, for the most part, are worthless to the preaching of the gospel because they're more concerned about their clerical position than they are about God's desire and will being done in and for the people. You know, Jeremiah talked about the false shepherds. You know what Jesus had to say about the Pharisees and Sadducees, who were the religious leaders of the time. You know, I don't know if any of you listening remember, if you're up in years, remember the services we used to have, Brother Glass. I mean, he brought the presence of God when he came on the platform. I mean, he thought of himself, you know, people say, oh, he had an apostolic anointing. He called himself an apostrophe. So, no, he had no great, he knew, because when God called him after that attempt to take his life, holding a loaded revolver to his head and pulling the trigger, after that failed, then he promised, or the Lord said to him, if you will only give me the glory. And that's exactly, that was one of the things he was absolutely extremely careful about. And I mean, he was a funny man, but he brought God's presence. And so, and there was, I can remember, you know, there was such an anointing there in those early days. I'm thinking back, 51st and Telegraph, the Latter-day Upper Room. That's when I first came to the ministry. Sometimes you could actually see the presence of God like a fine mist. I remember, I may be stepping on toes. I don't mean to do that, but this is my conviction. You know, God knew what I needed. He knew my personality. He knew my, He knew not just my personality. He understood me so well that I got saved, filled with the Spirit in 1 month's time, and then I heard the broadcast that he brought me to a ministry, Unveiled Christ, where that would not compromise the Word of God. They weren't part of any program or denomination. He said, you know, Brother Glass would say, he said, nobody called me and no one can fire me. God called him. He arrived in Oakland way back in the before several of us came, before... God called him there because he had been on radio. In fact, a woman came up to him. He just started the first week of his ministry. A woman came up and said, Brother Glass, you're supposed to be on radio, and gave him $50. So he went on radio, and we've been on daily radio ever since 1965. But the point is, what I'm trying to say is relying on the presence of God and the power of God. That's why people came from all over to it. Even in terms of when, after Brother Glass went home, the services that we used to have at the Hilton or in other locations, people would come because not only the broadcast, because of the presence of God. I remember once I was in a out of state. I was in Arizona, visiting with a friend, ministry convocation, a fellowship. It was an annual meeting, and we attended the large church that she was attending. We were standing before service, just standing talking in the lobby. And this was quite a few years ago. And this is I was fairly uneducated. I looked up. And I saw there was smoke coming out. It was on the ceiling. And she said, oh, that's a smoke machine. It's like, oh, good grief. And I tell you, I went to a church much later in time, again, looking for a church. This was no longer after we were holding our services. And I went, it was a very, very large church, a beautiful building. And I was trying to find it. I was a few minutes late. So I walked in, and there was a book department over on one side, and on the other side there was a coffee bar, and there were sweet young ladies sitting there fellowshipping with skin tight jeans and 4-inch heels, and the service had already started. I mean, it was so dark in there, you had to have an usher find you a seat. You couldn't see. I'm telling you what, beloved, we have resorted to this. I mean, don't they and flashing lights, don't they have that at rock services? I mean, I'm sometimes scanning the television, and I see stuff like that. Is it just me, or is something wrong with that? Oh, we had an organist and a pianist and the power of God. That was it. We didn't even have a worship team. It was Brother Lee or myself way back then. And so I may be stepping on toes, but this is, when you have known the power of God and the moving of the gifts of God and God's holy presence, beloved, there is nothing. There's an anointing present when God is present that you cannot duplicate. I don't care how many fabrications, how many cute little things we devise to try to bring a sense of, oh, we're in the holy presence of God. Well, God is so faithful, regardless of what a service is like, if people are gathering in his name. He's there to some measure, but he's really not free to move because they don't believe in the gifts or any stuff like that. So anyway, all right, I'll get off my horse, my hobby horse. But nowhere in the Word does it say, oh, I've been in places also where the elder board basically chooses the pastor. I'll never forget, years ago, we were, again, this was our minister's fellowship. We had various locations all over the country. So one time, my brother, husband was a vice president. He was head over the whole six states southwest region. Anyway, there was one dear brother. He went back to his home region. When he got there, he found out he was no longer pastor. He was voted out. Yeah. Anyway, so, and I remember places, you want to be an elder? No, I don't want to be an elder. It's so far from the scriptural guidelines that Paul established for a church. Beloved, if you're not called of God, you better not even go there in terms of trying to be a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist. It's a sacred, holy calling. And people are not to direct the minister how or what they preach. You know, I remember years ago, this is before I came again to the upper room. I'm just down memory lane with Brother Glass. And this is literally before we came. And Sister Norma was there. And this was that Brother Glass had just gotten the church started. And one brother who was very educated, very smart, I don't know if he'd been to seminary, he said, at the end of the service, he said, Brother Glass preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, Brother Glass, you should have cleared that message with me before you preached it. Well, let me just say that didn't go very well. And he didn't stay very long after that. Anyway, beloved, the preacher, the leader, the shepherd is first to be led by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And in turn is supposed to be the leader, the under-shepherd of the people under Jesus, lifting up Jesus Christ before all. Beloved, this is where it's at. And so we need to pray for our leaders that they will hunger after the power of God. Beloved, when a miracle occurs, nobody's going to question, was that God? No, the presence, and I believe we're going to be experiencing that wave of glory such as we have never known, because we're in the end times, beloved, and God is going to, he's going to send forth the rain, the former rain and the latter rain. He's going to restore the years, the palmer worm and the caterpillar and the cankerworm hath eaten. We're living in wonderful days. I don't care how crazy it gets in the world. Beloved, glory is our future. So, having said all that, I must bring this broadcast to a close, and I know some of you have prayer needs. It's going to take a little bit of effort to write down the contact information. If you email, that's great, convenient. But if you want a personal answer, I invite you to share your mailing address, never to be shared. But I will always confirm a receipt and pray for you. I love you in the Lord, pray for you every day. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.